Hey, welcome to the show, everyone. This week, we're talking all about video game content, developer decisions, release scheduling, and our favorite, side quests. This is the Party Up Podcast.
Transmission.
Oh.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you so much for tuning into this week's brand new edition of the Party Up Podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Derek Big Mosh, and with me, as always, Sir John Donadio, some beardy to love. What's going on, baby?
What's up, my dudes?
Nothing much. Also with us, as always, the handsome and erotic, exotic Mr. Jordan 77 TV. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? Today's goofy intro is a special one because we're doing it in... This is not one of my favorites.
Oh my god. Wow. The sad part about that joke is that was it. You've peaked. And the rest of the show, it's going to be just downhill.
Was that my best?
I don't know. We'll see. We got a lot to talk about today. So we'll see how it goes. But to the audience, to the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. If this is the first time or one of your many times joining us, we appreciate you for doing so. As always, make sure you find us on social media if you haven't already. Find us on Twitter to talk directly to us at Party Up Tweets. You can catch us on Instagram at The Party Up Podcast. And, of course, search for us on Facebook by typing in The Party Up Podcast. You can drop a like on our page, join our group, join our discussions, be part of the fun. And we have our YouTube and our Twitch running now. So make sure you catch us live on Twitch, twitch.tv/partyuppodcast, where we bring to you a bunch of bonus content, exclusive shows, and some of the streams that we put together that you may miss will be on, of course, our YouTube. You can go ahead and search up Party Up Podcast, and make sure you go ahead and spread word about everything. We're on the road to 100 subscribers. Normally, I would plug a link for YouTube, but of course, the website is silly, and we need 100 subscribers to customize our URL. So please get us to 100 subscribers so we can do that and make it easier for you guys to find us and enjoy all the extra stuff we put together. All right, gentlemen, official stuff out of the way. Let's talk about video games.
Yeah.
This week we're going to dive into our favorite subject, video games.
Is it the favorite?
I mean, at least for me it is. Are you saying that you don't enjoy video games as much as everything else we talk about on the show?
I mean...
What are you requesting a format change? What's going on here?
No, I just wanted to know.
You tell me.
Well, he doesn't like anime.
That's off the list. He doesn't nothing but talk about Marvel films, so we know that everything else is off the table film-wise.
Ooh, I do nothing but talk about Avatar. Thank you very much.
Right, that's true. Okay, gotcha. So, welcome to the Avatar Airbender podcast with your host, Jordan.
Hello. We're going to change format the entire thing. We're just going to go episode by episode. That's it. That's all we're doing from now on.
Yo, what if they put out an Avatar The Last Airbender video game? Have they done that? Is that not a thing?
They're trying to in, you guys know that game Dreams? Where you can create
stuff. The Sony
so
game.
They're like, yeah, but they're like doing it, but like a, you know, like a big way. They're trying to like code a bunch of stuff and put a bunch of shit together. So like it's like a large scale game that was created within Dreams.
Yeah. The when we did the Hack and Slash episode, the thing that I created or whatever, that was like the Irish, like, you know, druid thing or whatever could easily be adapted to an Avatar game. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that kind of like adventure with like, you know, the different powers and each character or you make your own version of the Avatar within their walk and you learn your own, you know, like, you have there how many generations of an Avatar you can literally make your own avatar generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
but like it has a story. You know what I mean? Like, right. So you can have side missions and whatever. Like everyone follows the same story, but you decide how you want to do it. You know, you pick your starting, I guess one that you know, right? Like you're an airbender or you're a firebender or whatever, right? And then you go across the four nations learning different ways to do that.
Do you think that like an avatar game that has like the four nations and like you get to see like they put it together kind of like Dragon Ball Z Kakarot,
where
like
it has
all
that.
The yeah, where it has all of like the iconic places from the show, and like you can go to Ba Sing Se and then you can go to the north. How big of a map do you think that would be for a game?
I don't think any bigger than we saw in Kakarot, to be honest.
I mean, if they split it up where like you go based on like a loading screen.
Right. Yeah. But then they could also have like intervals where you could fly across the sea on Appa, or you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
That'd be interesting.
That makes sense. They could do
that. There were scenes of that show that were on the sea also, you know, like they would have to have some kind of, you know, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be sick as fuck.
That's a game I would absolutely
Avatar Studios
in.
Hit us up. We got ideas. Let's go.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you know, ideas that you probably already thought of that you just haven't been able to manifest. We got them.
I guarantee.
No, I would absolutely invest in that. Whether it was like more around the mold of Kakarot, where like you know, it followed the story pretty much on a linear scale, but you still had that open world feel and everything like that. You could visit all the places, or even like John said, maybe create your own class of avatar. Like you're the new gen or the new reincarnation of the avatar. You know, and then you can start off and be
and
like,
each one has like a teacher that you know teaches you your first one, and you experience all that. And there's a little story around that, and then you move on. You know, like maybe you can add people to a party type of thing, and you can almost make like your own, you know, team avatar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know, they got to get the writing better for those games, though. They really do. Because I just started playing Final Fantasy 15 Comrades, and I just feel like create your own character games like just need better writing like that. Because like all of them are the same thing. Like you are. Like everyone's sucking your dick. Like, have you ever noticed that about
the main character?
And I understand what they're going
for.
They
should be sucking your dick,
but they're all doing it, is what I'm saying. Like, I finally, because with this game, it's like I created my character, and now I'm there in like this army or whatever with like a bunch of other people just like me. And then the first line of dialogue is like, you know, all these soldiers can do the same thing, but of course you're like special. And I don't know why
But in Final Fantasy 15, you're the prince. You know what I mean? Like that,
I'm not talking about being the prince. That's when you play as Noctis. I'm talking about comrades.
Oh,
you create your own character and then they make you like if you're so special, why the fuck is Noctis never heard of you? You know what I'm saying? Like it like bleeds into like the real plot a little bit. And then I just get like, ugh, like, okay. I understand, like, the appeal of making the plot like that is that you're the main character, and, you know, they want to make you feel like you're the powerful one, that you are the one who rises above. But sometimes I don't feel that's earned. Sometimes I would like to earn that. Give me a game where the dialogue and the plot changes based on, like, my decisions, and they're not just sucking my dick from the beginning. Make me earn being the special one above all these other soldiers.
Mm. You want to... A rise type of game, like Dragon Age, right? Where you kind of start from the bottom and become a hailed hero over time.
Yeah, or even because like even in Dragon Age, they still look at you and they're like, oh, the Inquisitor. It's like, oh god, like everybody loves you no matter
half
what.
A whole half of the people you have to like, you know, swayed over to your side.
Yeah, you have to befriend, and it's like.
Yeah.
You know who did it well, but it's a game that I actually don't like? Fable. In Fable, you fuck up and you do bad shit, you walk around the streets of any town or village and everyone's booing you and they're like, we hate you. You're the worst. They make you feel like you earn what you do in that game.
Yeah.
Right. I'm excited for the new one.
But there's a new one coming out?
Yeah, yeah. They announced
no
it. It's going to be coming out for the Xbox Series X.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, I'm super pumped for that.
You know, I've been trying to hold off on getting anything new gen because I have a backlog on my PS4 like no other. But I gotta be honest, man. I think we talked about it before on the show when we were talking about the holiday stuff. Right. And like all the new gen releases, but yeah, I might need to pull the trigger on a brand new system, and I think I might be pulling it on the Xbox. It's just so much. I don't know. It seems like they're just offering so much more, like just so much more, and it just feels like it's worth like my money. Like yeah. Like the PS5. I don't know. Even now, still like really don't know more than what I already know about it. And I don't know, for some reason, like between the Xbox Game Pass, the releases that are supposed to be coming out, the acquisitions of studios and just everything like that. Like, I don't know. I think it would be ridiculous not to buy it.
I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
Plus you'll be able to actually fucking find one.
Yeah.
Which is weird too. Like you would think, because Xbox, I don't know, like is seemingly the one that's the better choice. The PS5 is like a ghost.
I think it depends on what kind of gamer you are. Like if you're a PC person, go Xbox. There's no reason not to. You know what I mean? Like if you're just console in general, I think most people lean towards Sony for whatever reason. Yeah. I'm not really sure why. I like where Xbox is going, mostly because of like the backwards compatibility and like all of the entertainment stuff and like tons of free games all the time. Although their monthly games lately have been trash, but and PlayStation has kind of pulled out a couple of good ones. But like just in general, like the Game Pass is really cool, and like, you know, being able to be, oh, I could play this on my PC and my Xbox, and like now they have the mobile cloud where like if I'm not home and I want a game, like I can fucking hook up this like little controller thing to my phone. Like it's kind of cool. Wow. You know, it's like, not that anyone needs to do that, but like it's cool that they can, you know.
Right. Yeah. Having the ability to do so is still a good feature.
It's like,
yeah,
it shows that like gaming can go into the future and they can do all kinds of things with it, whereas Sony's like, here's a console.
Yeah,
I don't think it's primarily like that. I just think you've invested more time and energy into Xbox, and that's why you kind of feel that way.
Yeah, maybe.
Whereas myself as a person who invests more time into Sony, because you're right, yeah, like I don't play anything on the computer aside from The Sims. I have no reason to do that integration with Xbox or anything like that. So it's
that's because you have a Mac. So, I mean,
why do you keep coming from my Mac, bro? Like,
although you know what I mean? Like, and I will always be a front, because I'm a console player mostly. I like my PC, but I play all of them. I like Sony. I like Xbox. I like Nintendo. You know what I mean? Like, all three of them have reasons that I play.
You don't know why you don't like Nintendo
at this point, but the rest of them, you know, like Sony has great, you know, first titles and like
exclusive
single player, you know, kind of games for the most part, which I enjoy. And Xbox has the multiplayer games that I enjoy. You know what I mean? Like and multiplayer on Xbox is so simple and so easy. So I tend to like gravitate towards that when I play with people, but like, with like PlayStation, I don't have a problem with it now that I've gotten a little bit more used to it, but like I'm lost in their user, you know, like
the UI for you is pretty difficult. I've experienced
it's
that
just
firsthand.
So weird and awkward, and it's like, why would you do this like this?
How do I start a voice chat?
But I've
I join one.
As we've been playing and everything, like, I've learned how to do it. I know how to put us together. I know if one of us is waiting, it's like, oh, Derek can't come in because we're already in a party. Right. It's not like he can just take over and
like,
create
now
his
I have
own
to
party.
Get out of the game, you know, go into the menu where the party is, invite him, blah, blah, blah. In Xbox, it's one button.
It takes you 2 seconds. If I said what you just said, you'd be like, stop fucking whining.
Like, come on. I am definitely whining about it, but it's like just a bunch of steps that it's like I don't have to do on Xbox. I hit the home button and I press one button and it invites the person I need. You know what I mean? Like, it's just easier. That's all. That's what I'm saying. It's just easier.
Yeah, you're right. But also it has like, because
easier is better, damn it. Sony wants you to be alone and a loser inside a room. It's dark and whatever. That's what they want. They'll throw in multiplayer because everyone demands it. But they want you alone with your gaming station. That's it.
That was kind of a solid argument by Derek. It's like,
yeah.
So then why do you hate? That seems like it's right up your alley. Why do you?
That's perfect for you. And it's almost like the marketing team had a big poster of your face and went, this is the guy we need to please.
This is the guy we need to please.
Okay, everything you said except the loser part, but like, yeah. Like,
right, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Having the lonely kind of, not lonely, but like, you know, the solo kind of.
You ain't a loser, yeah. John, but you sure are lonely.
Yeah. But that, but again, that's why I enjoy Sony for that reason. Like, I play my single player games on Sony. Like,
you know what this reminds me of and what this makes me feel like when it comes to the console wars in like a general sense? Like, back in the day, I didn't really understand it. When we did the episode on the console wars, I didn't really understand it. And right now, I really don't understand it. You know why? Because this is very indicative.
What do you understand?
To a lot of things.
Margaritas.
No, this makes me feel, and this is a weird comparison, but like, I talk to a lot of my friends because they always talk to me about Avatar stuff and whatever. Mm. And like, they always talk to me about
format change.
Okay, so like, who is the better fucking Avatar? Is it Aang or is it Korra? And it's like, these two things have so many different qualities and so many different situations they've been through and so many different ways that they look at the world and how they handle things. I don't think it's that people really like or dislike these fucking consoles or anything like that. I think it's because just as people, we're just, everything needs to be a competition. Something can't just exist. Like, it needs to have like a counterpart because that's how we are as humans. But like, I don't think it's good or bad. I think it's just different. I think they're just doing different things while also doing some of the same things. Because like, we don't really put Nintendo into these console war arguments. Like, we literally said that during that one episode.
Right.
But at the same time, we still have respect for them because they still give us, it is what it is. It's not that it's good or bad. It's just different from what Sony's doing. They're giving us stuff that we're having fun with. You know what I mean? Right. Yeah.
They don't try to outdo the competitors. They just do what Nintendo does. That's really
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. You know, because even these consoles, it's like we said in that episode, these fucking companies, they don't hate each other the way that we as humans would love to think they do. We're the ones who created the console wars, not the console.
Yeah, right. Yes. So yes, absolutely.
100%.
That's what it always feels like to me. Because I don't shit on Xbox like that either. I'm pro PS4, but I don't shit on Xbox. I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I never really shit on any of them, like, in general. Like,
yeah, I'm not saying you are. I'm just...
Yeah, like, I enjoy all of them for what they are and why I use them.
So right, I think it's less of us shitting on the actual product. We shit more so on the people that are just like, my console is better. My Xbox is better than your PlayStation. No, my PlayStation is better than your Xbox. Yeah. And then you have someone in the background going, PC Master Race!
And he's screaming like a Yeti. Like, there's no... PC Master Race is screamed by the, like, the worst people.
It really is.
Yeah.
But the thing is, too, like, I also never understood that because, like, it... don't get me wrong. They also make their fucking horrific mistakes that, like, that's what gets people into these, like, flame wars with the consoles. It's like, when one console makes a decision that everybody thinks is generally fucky, the other console is pretty much like, oh, say, okay, let's learn from that lesson. Like, how, like, Final Fantasy VII, I'm investing a lot of time and money into that and everything like that. So I'm waiting for the second part to come out. They announced that the DLC that was coming out for it is only coming out for Final Fantasy VII Remake on the PS5.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody, they had like a Yuffie DLC that was coming out. It wasn't the full sequel, but the Yuffie DLC that was coming out. And everybody was like, why the fuck would you do that? This is fucking stupid. But yeah, if you played the game on PS4, which I did, and I have a communal PS5 in my house with my brothers and everything, but I don't throw all my games onto it, so I didn't put Final Fantasy VII onto it,
right?
Because it's not mine. Like, I'm going to move out of this house with my siblings and, like, get another fucking PS5. So in doing that, now playing 7, I don't get the Yuffie DLC. I don't get any of the other fucking things they're making for it.
Wow. What the fuck? Yeah. What the fuck, man?
It's fucking crazy, yeah. But, like, why would you do that? You know. Whereas Xbox, like, I feel like they're... I can't speak on their willingness to give, but, like, I know that the backwards compatibility they're a lot better with.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah, 100%. So. See, that's the whole thing. It's like, oh my God, that's so fucking agitating. Like,
yeah,
dude, I get it. You want to push everyone into the next gen, and if you're on PS4, finally get a PS5. Come on, guys, invest in the PS5. You're already on PS4. We're going to give you a little bit of a push in the right direction. Like, no, fuck yeah. You. Fuck yeah. You, Sony. Come on. That's so fucking stupid.
I just wanted to point
here's,
this out.
You know what the thing is? And the difference between like how the old generations would get us excited for the new ones, right? So like PS1, PS2, you know, it's like everyone kind of jumped on, right? With PS3 to PS2 to PS3. Same with PS3 to PS4. Like everyone was excited for the next generation. The thing that changed this time was that they were like, it's almost like neither company sort of jumped in full, you know, and was like, okay, we're going to stop making games for this now. And all of the new ones coming are coming to the new one. You can still play them. You know what I mean? Like the new game, like the old games, but the new ones are only coming to this one.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that.
Right. They didn't do the hard switch.
Right.
You know? Yeah. That's the problem they're having with GTA 5 right now. They're like, guys, look, 6 is coming. You need to fucking understand we are not going to keep supporting this game. It was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've read this in multiple areas. Wasn't GTA 5 the biggest piece of media that has ever existed? Like, I've read in multiple places that it made more money than any movie, any television show, any game that's ever existed.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, I believe it's been around. That
could
be
right.
It won many Guinness World Record fucking awards, like, its first week that it was out. Like,
that's nuts.
I think.
That's crazy.
But because of that, as a result now, like, Rockstar cannot fucking let that shit go. And they want other people. Yeah, right. No. It's their fans that can't let it go. And they're telling people, they're like, look, you got to under fucking stand this shit. 6 is coming out. And
the thing is like, you know what? They could just, like, let that game go, right? Because they're going to make 6. So like when 6 comes out and 5 just kind of disappears to the wayside, as it should, because 6 should excite them more.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like that's the thing, is that the new one comes out so the old one can go away. You know, like
exactly.
I mean, you know, unless they're Smash players, they never let, you know, you got to let it go. It's like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, GTA 5 is all that online stuff, right?
Yeah, that's the thing that they're making, that they continue to like support, is GTA Online.
Right. That's the thing. That's like at least for me personally, like if you've gone already from 5 and now you're doing all this, you've done all this expansion work on online, and that's what the fans are really upset about. They're like, oh, you can't kill online just because 6 is coming out. I kind of agree. Like, just run GTA Online and just let it run as is. Don't come out with new shit for it, but don't kill it off either. And that doesn't necessarily mean that 6 can't still have a great single and multiplayer
feature.
On what
shared servers do you want this plane of existence to
exist? Because that's a lot of money.
You know what I mean?
Like,
all right. Well, then you know what? Fuck me. I don't know what to tell you.
That's why Nintendo.
I'm just saying,
and
they have to, like, they literally have to, like, create another server, to run this brand new game, when the old one is like, it's like you could get not take them off, but like you have it run less and you give it, you know, the new game more, right? But you don't make any new update, you don't do anything for that, you know, at that point that's the game. You know what I mean? So
that's,
it's like,
what I just
you don't
said.
Add to it. You don't. You don't. But because at some point that will die, and then you can have those.
Exactly. That's
back,
the equivalent of them, like, of Sony still supporting the PlayStation Vita right now. Like, no, I can tell you right now, playing a Vita, like, that's just that's a sad reality. That's when Nintendo comes out and they make announcements. Well, they all make announcements about it, where they're like, listen, the Wii U. Yeah, we're not supporting the shop for that anymore, because that's a server that costs us money and none of you are paying for anything on it because it's an old system. Like, we're on the Switch now. So that's the thing. I just wanted to say this part of it too, because I feel like this also has to do with what we were talking about earlier. The way that games are presented to us, I think, also is a big fuck up that like Sony has with, like, when we were talking about the backwards compatibility thing, like, I just thought about this because, like, that's a blatant, like, scam, in my opinion. I'll still, like, listen, nostalgia is a bitch. If you like a game, you like a game. And if you can't, you don't have access to it anymore, you will pay to play it again if you really want it that badly. Nintendo, I don't... Here's the situation with that, though. I don't feel as hard about it or about Nintendo doing it because... Let's take Sunshine, for example. I really like Super Mario Sunshine. I really like Super Mario Galaxy.
Right.
Those games were both on CDs. Okay?
Yes.
I don't have a Nintendo console that supports CDs anymore. The games that I have for my Nintendo console are now little Switch chips. Right. So if they could put that game on a Switch chip, I will bite the bullet and pay for it. Plus, it's three games in one, so I ain't gonna bitch. Sony... Back then, their games came on CDs, and right now, their games come on CDs. Yep. There's no fucking excuse. They should not be coming out and saying, "Yeah, you're gonna have to pay for Crash Bandicoot." Crash Bandicoot again. It's like, no, motherfucker, you made a CD for it before. Just manufacture that one and do it again. Don't.
And that's the one thing, like with Xbox, it's like they actually have tried to create that thing where like. Most of their old games, if you have the CD for them, will play on the new Xbox.
Right. That's awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. That you should just adapt it so that that works. There's no CD slot on the Switch for a GameCube game. So obviously I can't do that. There's a CD slot right there on PlayStation.
But if they're willing to take their old games and put it on their new technology for us to play, that makes sense to me. You know, like they should do that.
Right.
You know, because they know 100%. People will buy it. Because again, we've said it. You know, because nostalgia is a hell of a thing. So like,
it's a hell of a drug. Yeah.
No, it is just capitalizing on nostalgia. But I think
it's terrible. But we eat it up. We all do it.
Cash grab, guys. They don't make video games for us. They make games for money.
Right. Don't ever forget.
Also, they don't. The audiences don't go into detail as much as like we do for this shit.
True. I mean, listen, I totally get, you know, your gripe with it, and I understand. I think the conclusion here is that Xbox and Nintendo are kind of doing things better. Sony always seems to be the fucking problem.
Different.
They're doing it different, but just because they're doing it different doesn't mean they're doing it fucking correctly. You know what I'm saying? Like, Sony has always been... And nobody here can debate me on this because you know it's true. Sony has always been the odd man out in the video game world because of their practices and the way that they present games and the way that they have their issues with everything. They're always the last company to play ball with everybody else.
That's false. That's super false.
What are you talking about?
Because think about what you just said. When it comes to the odd man out, when it comes to practices, online play, you don't think Nintendo was the odd man out all that time?
He's talking about cross-platform.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And,
yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I thought we were talking about everything.
Because everything, I thought if you meant like everything as a whole, when it comes to online play, business practices, sharing their IPs... Mario is under lock and key.
I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about just playing ball with everybody.
Yeah, Nintendo's online is a mess, but at least they'll do cross-platform.
No, 100%.
And Nintendo does play ball with other people. It's called Smash Brothers. So yeah, that's
so there you go. I mean, so there you go, validating my point even further.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Don't come at me, bro.
I thought you meant one thing.
No, sorry, I know, but I didn't. So fucking shit. Fuck. I'm pulling rank. Know your role. Fuck.
Jesus fucking Christ.
No, I completely agree with everything that we said, man. Like, it's, I don't know. Video games are always so fucking weird, man. Like, not only the long list of shit we've already discussed, but not just in this show, but in prior episodes. But it was something that came to my attention too recently because two episodes ago, we were talking about how the movie business and all the delays in the films and shit like that. And it's just like, just give us the fucking film. Mm-hmm. And how, like, when that happens, like, we get the film and we're like, yeah, fucking great. But then when it comes to video games and the delay games, or even sometimes they don't delay games, it always, for some reason, seems to completely fucking backfire, and we never really get the product that we were either promised or that we were anticipating.
Because we rush the games and it takes a lot longer.
Yeah, that's another infuriating thing for me in video games. It's like, just give us the product that we should be getting for our money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I don't want to dive back into it, but a perfect example was the whole fucking Cyberpunk fiasco. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But they do that shit. They do that shit more so recently than any other time. But
right, the cyberpunk thing was, I think, a really special case. You know what I mean? Like, because not only did they fuck up an entire console launch, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It was really only made for the Series X and the PlayStation 5 and the PC. That's what it was made for, right? But they let people also buy it on the earlier ones, which it was not ready for, and they knew that.
Right.
And the programmers and all these other people were like, we cannot launch this game yet, or we drop, you know, the other one, you know, like the old thing, and just have it come out for new stuff.
Right.
And they were like, no, it has to be for this, and it has to be this. We've pushed it back too much already. There needs to be something coming out. So it wasn't even like we were asking for it as an audience. And even though we were, it was like we all just wanted a finished product. But instead of doing that, they were just like, no, just launch it. It doesn't matter if it doesn't work on the old ones.
Yeah. I mean, not only that, but apparently from people that actually invested in the game and played it and like got to experience it without much of a hassle, even they were just like, this game was subpar for everything that it's gone through, everything that like was marketed to us. This game really, like, people were just like, the game wasn't fun.
The thing was, is that I don't remember like real marketing for that game. Like, yeah, they talked about it all the time, but does anyone even remember them like showing real like gameplay or showing like they did it a few times to just show like, you know, Keanu Reeves in the game and like how guns worked and stuff. And it's like, but no one got like a full, we had no idea what to think to get, you know, people thought it was going to be like, you could put in different chips and modify your arms and blah, blah, you know, yeah. Like, and it's like, I don't know.
Well, because that just wasn't a fan thing either. Like the people who worked at CD Projekt Red and everything, like they came out and they were like, listen, the game that came out was not at all what Cyberpunk was even going to be. Like they admitted it. They were like, listen, this game is not fucking, this is going to be way different. They were very overzealous and like they did have a lot of promises that they made, but to deliver upon them would have taken them far more than I think we even got now.
Also, our expectations were set way too high because of The Witcher. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The Witcher 3 set our expectations up for, you know, this company makes great games and like they only make one game. They make The Witcher and it's great. You know, like.
Right. But I mean, doesn't that tell you more about the company because they can't keep that consistency? You know what I'm saying? Like, isn't that more telling of them as a studio that they have this classic that everyone rants and raves about and loves, and then they go to do their next project and it's complete garbage? Like,
yeah, but you know? Like at some point, something fails, right? BioWare is the best example of this. BioWare had slamming games, like, I mean, so good first person, I mean, like a third person adventure game in space and in fantasy realms, and they were all amazing. And then Andromeda hits and everyone fucking hates it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then they have another game that comes out and everyone fucking, it's like, this is what happened to this, you know, whatever. Right. And then like, all right, so now Dragon Age, you know, the next one's coming out and it's like, I'm still excited as a BioWare fan, you know, like,
right. Could this be the terrible, game that redeems
but
them?
Like, I'm still excited for it. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with Bethesda. Bethesda puts out shit, you know, all the time. But see, like, I am a Bethesda whore.
See, that I wanted to say too, because like, there's a part of me that feels, and like a lot of people said it to me, I read a lot of people fucking say it, and even you, John, said this to me. Cyberpunk was supposed to be the modernized, futuristic Skyrim, to which I responded, then I don't think this is going to be a good game, because even Skyrim is not the perfect game. Yes, right. It's good and everything like that, and a lot of people loved it. It was a very It became a modern classic of our time. It really did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Skyrim is a very expansive and ambitious game. And with those big open world, expansive, ambitious games, you're going to get glitchiness. You're going to get spawn issues and things that are going to make certain missions not even appear for you in the game.
Yeah.
You're going to get technical issues that still exist in Skyrim to this day.
Yeah.
And if that's what they were trying to do with Cyberpunk, with all the other ambitious shit that they said they wanted to do on top of that, Cyberpunk was already on the fucking verge of not being what everyone expected it to be.
Yeah, and Bethesda does this thing where like, oh, we have glitches, don't worry, we'll take care of it. And they do eventually. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, but like once in a while, like you can overload its own servers and like have fucking dragons that fly backwards. You know what I mean? So like still to this day, they have bugs. And yet still to this day, I have bought it on almost everything. I almost thought about buying it on my PS4 and my Nintendo Switch again. You know what I mean? Oh, just my Switch. But like, yeah, like I want it for the Switch now, and there's no reason for me to own it on the Switch. There's no reason for me to own it on the Switch. You know what I mean? Like, but if I upgraded to the Xbox Series X and I still have to wait for the next Elder Scrolls, give me Skyrim because I'll play it in the meantime.
Mm. You know what I mean? Dude, like, that's... hold on. Didn't this guy just complain very recently about recycled old shit? Didn't we have a conversation about this?
Dude, no, but John's the Catholic Church. Like, for he me, doesn't know what he's...
I'm talking about like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Also means, yeah, you fucking got me.
No, it's different in my head.
We talked about this last week. We're right. Like, if people want to buy Nintendo recycling their garbage ass games, go right ahead.
For me, Skyrim's a great game, so it's worth buying on multiple things.
I can solve this right now. John, I need you to start saying, in my opinion, before you go into these fucking
books. No.
Because you go in and you're like,
everyone knows I'm talking about my opinion. You should know that by now.
That's not true. You know, I tell you guys all the time, I listen back to our show like a fucking crazy person. When I'm at work, I put our show in the middle of my store on the speakers and just listen to it when I'm alone in my studio. And I'll tell you guys right now. I'll tell you guys right now. Yeah, I just like to listen to how I am. And I'm not observing you guys. But oh, gotcha!
Right. It's
this doesn't sound like he's observing on your end, right? I get it.
Okay, but there's certain shit that you can't kind of ignore. And John, you go straight for the jugular for the certain things, and you're like, "No, this was objectively fucking bad." No, John, it was bad in your opinion.
Listen, in my opinion, you're wrong right now, so that's fine. you can just keep going.
Oh my god.
I said that because I knew Derek would laugh. But
that's great. I love it.
Yes, in my opinion, but when I say things like these are objectively bad or I fucking hate this, that means that in my opinion, they're objectively bad. You know what I mean? Like
now we get it.
We're not trying to gang up on you. In my opinion.
Right. We know that. Right.
Yeah.
You have an interesting.
You know, you don't know that. At least Jordan doesn't.
I said okay. I didn't say I know. I said
no. I was like, cool, brother.
He's like, yeah. All right. Yeah. Sure. Okay.
So when I say shit and things that I hate and whatever, I hate them.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Right. So everyone ignore John's opinion. Right. No, I'm kidding. I'm absolutely kidding.
Just like I ignore all of your opinions.
Regularly.
On the regular. Hold on. I have a quick question. Sure. So I personally, I've never really invested in Skyrim. I've always wanted to, but I just never have. Here's the thing, because you're kind of like having this discussion about games that are still worth investing in and still play, and people overlook these certain things. I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume, which probably shouldn't, but I'm going to assume that the content that Skyrim delivers overall is more than enough to have players go, okay, I can overlook these things like glitches and weird shit because the rest of whatever is on the table is still worth it. And I think that's the difference that people need to understand, that like with Cyberpunk and other titles out there, sometimes the content as a whole is not enough to overlook all the bullshit. And in that case, the bullshit outweighs the rest. And that's when everyone's like, well, this is a fucking dumpster fire and you needed to fucking delay it. As much as everyone complained about delaying it, you should have kept fucking delaying it.
And games like Skyrim and The Witcher 3, like as glitchy as they can be, and as glitchy as like, and it's like sort of like you can make fun of them or whatever. Bottom line is those games are fun to play, and they have a lot of good gameplay and mechanics that people enjoy. Exactly. You know, so like when it comes down to it, that's the difference between where Cyberpunk completely failed on itself.
Right.
Where it's like, I'm not interested in the gunplay, and I'm not interested in these characters, and I'm not interested in the story. And like, while it wasn't a bad one, I just was like, I don't connect with anything in this right now, and I don't understand at all.
Can I also just say, this is also a developer thing, because I want you to look at the fucking developers who are allowed to get away with glitchiness versus the ones who are not. Because when Bethesda has glitchiness, whether it be Skyrim or Fallout or anything like that, it still has enough of an investment in those games, like we just said, that you still enjoy them. Right. When fucking Ubisoft has the nerve.
Ubisoft.
to have a glitchy Assassin's Creed game that is also just like every other Assassin's Creed game, except now I can't even play it because it's glitchy. Or the first, I don't know if I've said this on the show already, the worst game that I have ever played in the entirety of my fucking life, and I've shared this with John before, is the first Watch Dogs game. That game, for all the press and all the shit and all the buses I saw driving around my city that had the Watch Dogs fucking logo on them, that game, oh my God.
Yeah.
Some of the people who give you missions in that game didn't even spawn in. I couldn't finish it out of sheer ridiculousness.
Yeah, and the fact that it was like boring. I love Ubisoft games. And that game is absolute trash.
Exactly. But it was also, it wasn't a situation where it was fucking garbage technically, but the game itself had like heart. It was heartless. And that.
Yes.
There was nothing put, it was soulless trash.
Absolutely heartless. You're right. That's what it's missing any kind of soul.
Same thing with Assassin's Creed Unity, and the fact that that was a game people were kind of looking forward to because they were marketing these games. Notice that shit. The marketing too, the way they were talking about this shit, were like these games were the second coming. And you know, you think you're going to play this expansive game where you get to hack into people's phones and do all this hacking crazy shit. And then you sit there and you play it and it's a glitchy mess. That's like, oh, hold down the X button to hack into their phone. Like, oh, you don't want to do anything more complicated or anything like that. This is a game about glitching and shit. You just want me to hold the button down? They're like, yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
just run across this massive map and just press the X button. That's the mission.
Just stealing from people.
Fucking, you had the nerve.
Oh my God.
It's funny because like there was nothing to that game. Main quest, side quest, stealing stuff, game mechanics, anything that like they came up with for Watch Dogs didn't work. Like there was no reason for me to play that game other than to drive around for a little while. Like, but I also think that like about GTA and stuff, like I don't like GTA games. I will steal cars for about 20 minutes and drive around town, you know, running people over because I think it's funny. And then I'll stop playing.
You're right about that. Yeah. I can see that.
You know what I mean? I get duped every time, though.
Yeah, we do. I don't know if we talked about this or like we said it on the show, but like the plot and everything too also kind of suffers. Like GTA is one of those weird like unicorns where like there's nothing particularly special about this game. All games have like shooting. All games have characters that say fuck. All games have this shit. Yeah. So for some reason, GTA just like vibes with like the fact that, you know, it's the closest thing we're ever going to get to a life simulator where you're allowed to like graphically gun people down in the middle of the street. Like that's what GTA is. Yeah, and that's why it has such an appeal.
I think after San Andreas, I think the GTA franchise pretty much tanked after that.
Yeah, because they moved away from black people.
What? Yeah. It was nothing but Italians to start with. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? As I slowly realize you're absolutely telling
me. Yeah, what? I don't know what game you were playing prior to fucking San Andreas, but Jesus. Okay, now you've made things awkward, Jordan.
Now, GTA handled gangsters, but like gangsters of all colors.
Right.
And that's, yeah. I understood.
All right, okay. I don't understand where you were coming from, though. You're racist.
Fuck you. Fuck you. No, fuck you.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just, I think the whole video games being delayed is more infuriating for me than the movies being delayed. Right. Because when the games are delayed, they still give us shit. And I don't know, maybe because personally I'm more invested in gaming than film, that like even if a movie came out to be shit after it was delayed, I'm like, whatever, I don't really give a fuck. But when like, I guess because it's also the price point too, what I'm investing in as far as like a film versus a game, when a game comes out and it's disappointing after fucking two or three delays, I'm just like, I spent way too much money to be this fucking disappointed, and I'm much more upset about it. But the other thing too, on the other side of this coin, is that I've said this before on the show, and the thing I think that needs to fucking happen, because we also see games come out way too fucking fast and still be disappointed, or they come out on time and just be disappointing. Ooh. Is like the scheduling for games throughout a year is ridiculous. I can't keep up. I've said this before. I cannot keep up. I am an adult with children. I don't have that type of time anymore.
Yeah, but that's really the thing, is that when we grew up with all this stuff, and so we continue to play it because we love it. But like, really, they're not made for people of our age with real lives and stuff. Like, yeah, we're gonna miss a lot of that stuff that comes out. You know what I mean? We're not gonna play through games fully because we don't have time or whatever. And like, the only time that we do, you know what I mean? Like, I know that it's made for everyone and everyone's, you know, there to enjoy them, and we all do, but I'm just saying, like, they don't make it with us in mind.
No,
yeah, of course. I'm gonna wholeheartedly disagree, because even as a child, I couldn't fucking keep up. Are you kidding me? I wasn't springing fucking at that time. Think about when we grew up. Games are like $70 or $80 sometimes. Yeah. They were actually more expensive. I wasn't springing that kind of fucking money on a monthly basis. Are you kidding me? My mom would have beat the crap out of me for asking so much.
But also, games back then were also like dime a dozen, terrible. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, like, only few and far between were actually good. So, like, you could figure out which ones were going to be good, you know? Like,
nobody was talking about AAA. AAA games existed back in the day, but nobody was talking about them the way they do now. Like, that's right. The thing. Like, video games in a general sense have completely changed since we were children up until this point. Like, we were the generation that watched video games specifically. Like, video games created the careers of worthless skinny white boys on YouTube everywhere. Like, that's just a thing. Ninja,
hey, whoa.
PewDiePie.
I'm not a skinny white boy.
Like, seriously, like, this was the shit that, like, now, that's why I think, like, the rate in which they come out and everything, it's because, like, oh my god, there's a market for this, and big companies are starting to realize that there's a market for this. Because, again, video games came from, you know, from the barren of like, oh, these are just fucking mindless bullshit that like rots your brain, to now boomers are looking at the video game industry and their CEO positions, and they're like, oh, we can invest in this and make a shit ass ton of money off, again, worthless little white boy A on YouTube playing fucking Fortnite.
Right. Stonks and to the moon and all that stuff. Yeah, I get it.
So that's it. At the end of the day, that's literally
the thing is that obviously there's always the overlord evil that trying to make a dollar on us, but I think a lot of us are you know, like, I think it's like a genuine love of games that people go into games for. Like, when writers and programmers and stuff, like, they want to make games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get that. I understand sure. that, but I don't know. It's just like, It's just moving too fast for me. I'm always going to fucking say that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there'd be fucking three game releases. Pick up the pace, old man. Hey, listen, okay? Fuck. We all can't be fucking lonely PS4 players, okay?
You could be, but you chose not to be.
You chose not to. Yeah, it was a choice. It's like church. Only you can choose to go.
That's right. No one makes you go to church.
Nobody makes you go. That's not a thing. Unless you have to go like to by law.
Oh, my God. Here I thought I could vent my anger about games being not just delayed, but being processed and put out too quickly, and you guys turned on me completely.
Well, are they coming out too quickly, or are they delayed?
I need a regularly scheduled program here, okay? I need a decent gap between titles, and I need them to be quality, okay? Give me complete products. I thought we lived in a perfect world here, gentlemen.
What if that's what you were getting, but there are so many companies now?
So the market's flooded, pretty much. It's oversaturated. It's
supply and demand. It's so absolutely supply and demand.
Who's demanding all this shit to be coming out so quickly?
Oh, yes. Damn it.
We're dicks. Us. It's us, dude.
Fuck.
Do you understand that Half-Life 3 can never come out? That's a game that cannot come out now. There are billions of people, fans of video games in this world, who all have a different idea on what that game is going to be. If I was Valve, I would make a statement tomorrow being like, listen, guys, our fault that it took this long, but it's your fault for fucking your imagination. So fuck you. We're never making that game. This is where that game ends.
Right.
Like, you guys can't see it right now, but I'm staring at myself in the mirror, just pointing and go, you need to fucking stop.
You did this.
It's all your fault. Fuck.
I think it's supply and demand. I think it's those people who were clamoring for years over Half-Life 3. Those people who fucking bully Miyamoto into the next fucking Mario game that's basically the same thing. Oh, he jumps up and lands on the Goomba. Never seen that before. Like, it's them, but it's us. It's a combination of that shit.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We act the way we act, so they take advantage of that. It's everything that John says every episode. It's the fucking cyclical money thing.
Right.
I think, there's a fraction of people who are passionate about the games industry who are making things. But at the end of the day, like, it's always those underdog stories you hear of that are like, either something super cool comes out and it doesn't get the, you know, the millions of dollars that it deserves, or it's the 45th fucking Assassin's Creed game that gets the billions of dollars. Like, that's right. That's what we're in. We're in life is cyclical.
We all need to play it.
Yeah, exactly. Life is just cyclical like that, and so is the games industry. We're not immune to that.
Right, exactly.
I just thought of the episode title for this week. Fuck this shit. I just thought of the episode title for this week. Gamers, we are our own worst enemy.
We kind of are. We always have been. We're just very self-righteous.
I think that could go to nerd culture in general.
Yes, absolutely.
We're our own worst enemies.
All of Star Wars can fucking be acquitted to the fact that, like,
yeah, oh yeah, no, 100%.
I mean, from what you've told me,
I love and hate it all the
George Lucas
time.
Fucked it up. But the fans of Star Wars are not exactly saints in this situation.
Not at all.
Fans of anything across the globe.
Oh, fans are always terrible.
Yeah. You're the worst.
And then we get people
we
fucking,
are the worst.
And then we get horrible television shows about people making claymation about all that shit we used to love in the 80s and the 90s.
And they don't be that good ever again.
And they go on Adult Swim, and then they're the worst show in the world. And
right. And then they go,
talking about,
can you imagine if this old cartoon had prostate cancer?
Can you imagine if Optimus Prime was Jewish? Can you imagine that?
Jordan, please stop dragging my cousin's name through the mud. I don't know if that was ever said on the show, but okay. I was about to say that's an inside joke right there.
Absolutely.
I don't really know how to transition into the next point I wanted to talk about, so I'm just going to dive right into it. John, earlier you mentioned the term side quests. How do you all feel about that? Because we're all talking about, like, video games and content being good and things like that and enjoying and having fun with games. What about games with side quests? Do you think that shit's fun? Do you, like, enjoy doing all that stuff? Are you guys mainly, like, when you're playing a single-player game or even multiplayer, I guess, in some cases, do you just kind of do the story and that's it? Like, what are your feelings on it?
For me, it's if a single player game game that has like a giant, you know, like a Skyrim or Witcher or whatever, right? Like, let's say these big 40-hour plus games that just from main story or whatever, big open world games. If you don't have like good side quests, I'm not playing.
Really? Like, that's a make or break for you.
For me, like, I need good side quests and menial. Like, I need them all. I need everything from go out and hunt for this fucking poor farmer to, like, you know, like, everything else. Like, I love side quests. I don't know why. Most of the time, I am doing side quests. I rarely play a main story in a game.
Jordan, can I sidebar you for a second?
Sure.
I don't recall, before I make the joke, did John have an issue with filler episodes in anime?
No, like actually. He
oh,
didn't.
No. Okay. All right. No. All right. Valid. Okay. Just want to make sure that I didn't, you know.
And it's probably why I like side quests is because I like filler episodes.
Right. Okay. So I'll go into my dialogue now. All right. So that makes sense, John. That
your sitcom delivery.
No, it makes complete sense. The guy loves filler fucking episodes for anime. Of course side quests are going to be right up his fucking alley. All right. Okay.
Love
them. All right. And it's really a make or break for you, really.
I mean, like, I loved that new werewolf game that came out, and there were like 3-4 random side quests that were just like, okay. And like, it didn't really tarnish my view of the game. Maybe that's an exaggeration. You know what I mean? Like, I still enjoyed that game. But if it had a whole bunch of side quests where I could go out and do shit as a werewolf and shit, I would have loved that. I would have ate that up, literally. Or figuratively, I guess.
Right. I get you. Now in this later commentary about side quests, now I remember how I was supposed to transition, and it was actually an anime transition because we spoke about the anime side movies and side missions that we see our protagonists go through. I'm glad that I remember that so late in the game now. That's what we call professionalism. Right. Jordan, what are your feelings on side quests, man? Since I know, based on our last conversation, this I will go ahead and not need a sidebar for. I know you hate filler. I know that you hate side adventures when it comes to anime. What about video games?
So you'll be pleasantly surprised, actually. I don't agree with John on it being make or break.
That was an exaggeration. It's not
my thing. Is like, see, look. Relax. I'm agreeing with him, so he's already distancing himself from his fucking.
Oh, fuck you! I'm done. Bye.
Listen, I'm kidding.
Amazing. Fantastic. That's a joke I think that when executed properly will never get old. That's really good.
Listen, I'm just I'm sorry, I had to.
Jordan, when you were young, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off and stall your conversation, but when you were younger, Jordan, okay. Okay, growing up as a small children.
That's racist. That's racist.
Is it? Is it? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm the black.
Is that my? Oh, well, yeah, I guess.
When
is that
you
my
was
car?
A young chitlin.
No, I said children. Children.
Okay. All right,
not
go ahead.
Chitlin. What the?
What's your question, Uncle Ruckus?
your ears chose to hear that in a racist way. Second time this episode where you're blatantly just being a racist, Jordan. God.
Well, I'm allowed to be.
Because I'm allowed to be. Wow. Okay.
What is your question, Derek?
Let me get back to the question and joke that I was about to pull out of my back pocket here. When you were growing up as a child, did you ever have one of those bikes that if you pedaled backwards, it would actually move you backwards? Did you ever ride a bike like that?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
John apparently still does.
I'm just kidding. Right. He didn't actually. What the fuck even were we talking about?
Side quests and okay, not being a make or break for you. Yeah.
No, look, I agree with John. A good side quest can make your experience. We were talking about this shit recently. How when you go through it depends for me, because it's not make or break for me, but at the same time, like, Side quests are just like that. So I've told you guys in the past, I've said it on the show, I like long ass games. Give me a 70 hour game. I don't give a fuck. Let's go. Like, just the main quest alone being 70 hours. I'll do that. I don't care. But my whole thing is, like, side quests are put in place for people like me who want a longer experience. It doesn't, I don't equate it to my feelings on, like, anime and how, you know, filler episodes are like a waste of time and shit with my investment and everything like that. But in a game, like, this is an interactive medium, so I guess that's how it's different, since I'm the one who's going on the quest to do whatever this side thing is. But also make it worth my while. I just recently beat Miles Morales on PS5. And the thing is, like, with that, you know, it's not a full game, of course. Like, it wasn't, said it wasn't going to be a full, you know, game, but it will be a full $60. So anyway, so it wasn't as long as I wanted it to be, but what I did get was so good. I was so invested in how they created this character, and, like, from the minute details, there's, like, details in that game about, like, they're having, like, a Christmas dinner, but because Miles is Puerto Rican, there's, like, somebody modeled in traditional Puerto Rican dishes into the game, and I'm like, holy fucking shit, like, this is the representation of this game and everything like that, and just shit was great.
Right.
The main story itself wasn't as long as I would have liked, but still enjoyed myself regardless. So the side missions had to carry me. The side missions in that game, I did not like. The reason why is because a lot of them were equated to run to this side of the city and beat up a guy. Now try to catch this car full of bad guys. Oh, you caught it. Okay. Now fight a group of guys. Oh, you're looking for some file on some shit like that. Okay. Swing across the city, grab the file, and then fight a bunch of guys. It's like, side quests can be good if you're giving me legitimately, like, if there's meat to it, you know?
Right. Not the rinse and repeat shit, right.
Exactly. If you just make it rinse and repeat stuff. That's why Assassin's Creed, like, I love but also hate that series, because a lot of their stuff in Assassin's Creed, you can boil it down to, like, it's, like, most minute, you know, thing. And when you're doing a mission in Assassin's Creed, you can boil a lot of Assassin's Creed missions down to just, oh, you're running across this map and pushing the X. Like, that's how a lot of...
I think as a gamer with, like, anxiety, like, I think doing the repetitious shit, like, just puts me at ease. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're, like, bro, like, I've been playing Genshin Impact, and, like, there are daily side quest missions to do, you know, so you get, like, shit in the game. I don't know.
Right.
And there are about 10 to maybe 10 kind of, like, unique ones that they just cycle through. And there are 4 every day that you can do. And I still do them, and I love them. You know what I mean? Like, it's just fighting guys, or it's just, like, pulling down a tower, or it's just some, you know, shitty go find a bird or something, you know what I mean? Like,
Zetch
it's
quest, never
it's like,
yeah,
it's all the same crap, and I'm just like, I'll do this every day, I'm totally okay with this,
right? But here's the thing. So first off, I'm gonna say that people need to fucking, developers need to stop relying on fetch quests so goddamn much in video games, because I'm sick and tired of the same nonsense. Like, I will agree with you, Jordan, that repetitiveness can absolutely kill side quests, and they do need to be, at least for the game at hand and the game that I'm playing, like, toss it up a little bit. I'm okay with maybe doing one or two of the same style of quests, as long as, like, the experience to accomplish those are a bit different in some aspect. You don't got to get crazy. Listen, I understand there's side quests, and they're not going to be fucking crazy, you know, fucking Chronicles of Adventure. And that's fine. But yeah, like, toss it up a little bit, change it up a little bit. But I will agree with John also that sometimes the repetitive side quests can be okay. It really depends what you get out of it. Like, right, in the game you're playing, are these repetitive quests easy but giving you decent loot or decent experience? Because I don't mind that. Right. I don't mind grinding out the easy, quick, repetitive side quests if it means that I'm going to be able to face the next boss 10 levels 10 levels ahead of the game.
That's what I was going to say just real quick about when I played Miles Morales, was like, although they were all extremely samey, I still did all of them because what I got were the like technical tokens and like things like that that allowed me to upgrade my spider gear and get more suits. It was worthwhile, but the repetition was almost not worth feeling that.
A little too much of a grind.
Yeah, exactly, okay.
I can agree with that. Although I do like, is it the same as like the original Spider-Man game too, where like, because I didn't play Miles Morales yet, but so the side quest for Harry Osborn had you doing all kinds of different scientific things, right?
Right.
But all the things you did, while some of them were the same, always took you on new adventures to how to get to that. So like maybe there was something where you had to spray stuff over a messy, toxic waste thing, right? And you'd have to swing from whatever, but sometimes it was catching pigeons or whatever it was. Like there was always something different for you to do, and it took you in a different part of the city and like all kinds of stuff. Like, is it the same thing kind of like that, or was it just like go over here and beat these guys up?
See, that's what I'm referring to, where it's like I know exactly what you're talking about, where like you're doing different thing. It's not just like a beat 'em up, you go to a place and beat up like 10 guys.
Right.
Like a lot of them were go to a place and beat up 10 guys, but then they like, I would say the substitute for the Harry missions from the original Spider-Man game were put, and it's not a spoiler, sorry, were put in the form of like a holographic Peter that was like training Miles in doing things, but you're generally just it was actually like almost more of like a combo thing too. I'll tell you this right now, it did have like one different thing, which was there were missions you had to do with a family member, like Miles' uncle or something, where like you're recording different like waveforms in New York City to like match other waveforms so that you can create like beats out of it, like a song, because like Miles like music and shit. And I thought that was like, oh, that's cute as fuck. But there were only like 7 of them. Whereas like these like fetch quest beat 'em up things, there's like 30 of them in each borough. I would have liked more of the different thing and less of the fetch this item.
I guess maybe it's just because it's like you have to remind everybody that he's Spider-Man. So he beats people up.
Yeah. At the end of the day,
in case you all forgot, Spider-Man,
the thing that makes him is the music stuff, but he's Spider-Man too,
right?
You know,
right?
Right. I don't know.
Maybe that's I don't know. I'm not making excuses for them. I'm just saying that's maybe that's
no. Right. I get you.
Your opinion,
yeah.
In my opinion, that's what they're trying to do.
here's the thing with side quests, and I gotta ask this, and I need you guys to be completely honest.
In your opinion.
In my opinion.
Right. Okay.
That's the name of this episode. I know it.
Right.
In my opinion.
When a game has side quests, am I the only one here that completely ignores the main story and plays through all of the side quests?
Oh, no. No, I play through all the side quests.
Right? I think that's what irritates me the most when they're like super repetitive and stuff like that. It's because I like to clear the map, and I like to see like if I'm whatever I'm collecting, I can whatever loot and stuff like that I can get, because I know eventually the experience and the gear, whatever it is that I'm doing for these side quests to earn, I know eventually will help me in the main story at some point. Like I'll play like the first, like for instance. I'm glad that we're talking Spider-Man, because that had to be like the most recent game I was the most guilty of doing it in was I would play the mission, and as soon as a new area unlocked, I went to the new area and cleared out all the extra factions. I cleared out all the side missions to the point where I would do all the side shit. And then the game's like, yeah, you can't do any more side shit until you do the next main mission.
Yeah.
So I would go do that mission and then unlock a little more and then go back to doing just that. Like, I don't know why, but with video games, when side quests, I thoroughly enjoy when side quests are good and do vary. And like when they're repetitive, obviously I have a big fucking issue with it, but no matter what, side of the coin the side quests fall on, I'm always super guilty of playing the game and just doing side quests, and I will not Like the most recent one. So I don't know if I've talked about it on the show, but I've definitely complained to you guys about that game Vampire. And yeah. I realized because I'm on my actual second playthrough because I'm obscenely crazy and I'm a trophy hunter. I'm on my second playthrough because you can't platinum the game in one playthrough. You have to do two. But I found out in my second playthrough how quick the story actually is. And I realized that the reason why I hated playing it the first time around so much is because I literally did all the side missions and, like, was finding all the collectibles and doing all the side shit before doing the actual story. So now my second playthrough, I'm like, wow, this game really isn't that fucking bad. I don't know. Am I the only one here that does that?
To that degree, maybe I'm not gonna speak for Jordan, but probably yeah. There is I love side quests that like, but there is like, and I found with like The Witcher 3, like so let's say that, or even Skyrim 2, like they have a ton of side quests, things for you to do that have nothing to do with the main story at all, and you can just do them all day long, and there's so many, and some of them have like so many things that you can do and so many places you can see that like. At some point, you have to give up and be like, I need to play the main story. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, okay.
So there's much just to do, too so many. Much to see.
that's what it feels like. Like, I played Witcher 3, and I'm like, at some point, I was like, wow, there are so many side quests that, like, I could keep doing this and never play the actual story of this game.
Right. See, that's something that, like, I kind of draw the line at repeatable side quests. Because some games do that. Some games will have an NPC offer you a quest, right? And they have the little, you know, hey, we can, you know, little icon. Hey, I offer you a quest. And then you go and you do it. And then you realize that they're like, oh, thank you so much. If I ever need your help again with the same problem, I'll let you know. And then you go back and it's like the icon is still there, but it changes color. Even sometimes the icon may not be there, but you can still talk to the NPC and still do the quest again. But when you do that, when that happens, that's when I'm like, I did this once. And the loot's never the same. It's never always the first time of doing a quest. You always get the best stuff. After that, it's like coins or some nonsense, some stupid shit. So once I do the first one, and even if it's repeatable, I go, all right, fuck this. I'm done.
Yeah. But that's the problem with The Witcher and Skyrim, because no matter who you talk to, you're always getting all these different quests. And while, yes, bare bones, it's the same kind of thing where it's like a job board in Witcher 3, right? It's always, you know, kill a monster or kill people and come back and get a reward. Mm-hmm. All right. And then there's like people in town that need some help doing whatever, or kill a monster or kill these people. You know, like it's always the same. And yet the stories behind them are so interesting that you're like, I don't mind doing this again. Yeah. Because like one time it's like, oh, you're gonna track down this monster and kill it, but then you find out it's like a fucking werewolf that has like a girlfriend in town and is just trying to live a life, and you're like, what the fuck, this is insane. And then you still get some cool gear after it. So it's like, you know, every single one of these are crazy and different and fun, and it's like, I don't even want to play the main story. I just want to keep doing this all day long.
Well, I mean, I guess at that point, I mean, if you finish the main story, right,
you can go back and do
stuff. Back and do it. I think that would be more so falling upon the field of end game content, you know?
Right.
I think that there's a big difference in that. Yeah. I'm talking about mainly like just strictly side mission shit that, I mean, even, I don't know, maybe now thinking about it, now discussing it. Well, you know what? Let me not bring this point up yet, because Jordan hasn't said anything really as far as like his addictiveness or non-addictiveness to side quests when it comes to a game. So let me hear that first. Let's hear your standpoint on this, and then I have a point to bring up.
The thing is, with me and that stuff, I have always been able to in my life. There's only one time I haven't. There's only with every game for me, I approach it the same way I do a fucking burger and fries. That's what I call it, the burger and fries technique. The way I eat a burger and fries, take a bite of my fucking burger, I eat a couple fries. I take like two more bites of the burger, a couple more fries. And then fucking, you know, I probably finish the burger, but I still have some fries left over for if I'm not already full. So it's how I approach games. It's how I approach a lot of them. It's like, I do some story. in the middle of that story, I see an opening. I save my game. I'm like, okay, let me fuck around in the village here, see what I can get myself into or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then go back and you can see some other shit. And then when you're ready to continue the story, go ahead and continue the story because it feels the most natural. There's also times in certain games where they preface you to go do shit like that. Like, I remember throughout Miles Morales, when you play that game as well, when you complete story missions, Miles will literally, in the dialogue of the game, he'll be like, all right, I'll have to go find out what the bad guy's up to. I have some time to kill before I, you know, go do that. Might as well swing around the city and see what's going on. And then, like, that's like, it's almost like a dialogue cue within the plot for the game to tell you, like, okay, you just did a story mission. Now go see what else you can get yourself into. Or if you want to go right back into the story, go right back into the story. So I know how to separate the two. And that's what makes me feel more the most natural. And that's
right.
Like with a game like that, it's like, that's what Spider-Man would do. He'd go after this main bad guy. And then, like, after that part of his day is over, he'd swing around and just, like, take patrol of New York City. And then after that, he'll go right back to the main thing that he was doing. Like, that's how I wanted to play that.
True, true.
So you play a game like it's intended to be played.
Not crazy
people like Derek.
Right.
I guess, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Okay, all right.
Shit.
Wow, this whole time, we are the crazy ones, and Jordan's not the...
Fuck it.
I'm not going to lie, though. That burger and fry analogy is like... It's got to be hands down the smartest fucking thing you said on the show.
Holy like, you
said
fuck.
Because you said it, and I was like, wow.
We had an entire Black Lives Matter episode that did not blow his mind as much as my burger and fries fucking analogy. Jesus. Go listen to that.
Yeah, go listen. All right. Yeah. I have to say I might have to switch up the way I play a little bit and play a little more naturally because that sounds fucking great. That sounds fun.
It's fun.
But it is. But you know what it is? Not all games are formatted like that. Like, to agree that Spider-Man is definitely formatted that way. The way that the mission progression goes throughout the game and you have those dialogue cues and those open sections. Like, yeah, you do that. Sometimes you don't have that. Sometimes you're just like, okay, you know, it's just the one moment where you're like, all right, now I got to go to do this main part of the story. And then I'm like, yeah, but that guy has an arrow over his head. I want to go see what that is. And then I spend the next 40 hours just doing side quests because I completely forgot about the main story.
Exactly. I'll tell you right now, because I said it in the beginning, I was like, the only game I was able to play like that was Skyrim. Because when the first time I ever played Skyrim, I fell the fuck in love with it. But I was so overwhelmed with shit that people wanted me to do that I was like, this game does not have a main quest. This is a game that is an open world game full of side quests, and that's me. And, like, that's how it felt for a little while until somebody, like, told me, like, no, the full story is this, and da 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 da. Right, like, this is your main thing.
Your journal is, like, full of quests that you can do
full
at some point.
Full of shit. Yeah.
And you're like, wait, which one is the main? Oh, this is the main quest. You know, it's like,
yeah.
There's so much to do.
It sounds like I was smart in not investing in this game because I would have a fucking nosebleed every time
I played. And here's the thing is, like, you have all these side quests and shit, and half of it is just me grinding the fucking blacksmithing thing so I can fucking, build cool custom armor. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like you just end up grinding. That's it. That's all you do in that
grinding
game.
Grinding for cosmetics.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, I've definitely done that.
And I love it. I love every second of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, side quests are definitely enjoyable. Even sometimes when they're very common or they're repeated kind of like formats. I don't know what it is about them. I just fucking I love them. Now here's the point that I wanted to bring up earlier. I had mentioned that endgame and side quests are different. Is endgame content just side quests that were never presented to you in the process of the main story? Like, is that essentially what endgame content is?
I think endgame stuff is just made up for like the games that have like a multiplayer aspect. Endgame to me is like because again, like I play a lot of open world games, so like all of it can be done whenever, whether you save the world from destruction or not, you know, like
right.
And so they're just side quests, but if I do the main quest and everything's over and they let me fuck around in the universe, it's like this isn't necessarily end game, it's just stuff I just didn't do.
But then
Avengers, that has endgame stuff because it has a story that stops somewhere, and then like dailies and other things and whatever and other
let's be honest, game, like, John, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but let's be honest, Avengers doesn't have endgame content. Avengers have side quest content that they put at the end of the game. Because it's boring and repetitive.
I can do all that stuff. I did finish the game. But before I finished the game, there was still shit I could do.
The difference between what we're talking about right now is quests that you could have completed at any time and quests that they will only give you when you complete the main story. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yep. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, because I just downloaded Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition, and there's some of the DLC stuff and everything they give you that was added that you can only unlock upon completion of the game, and then they give you that content, and it's like, okay, that's endgame shit.
That's endgame stuff.
Yeah,
because they'll give you more powerful enemies that you wouldn't have normally been able to do in the middle of the game.
Right.
Right. Okay. That answers that question. Yeah. 100% agree. Yeah. You're right.
I feel that.
Wow.
Okay. Shit.
Jordan checking off a lot of boxes right now.
Jesus Christ. You're wording these like compliments, but okay. I'm the show idiot. No,
you're not. No.
I'm kidding. No. That was a joke.
No, it's not like we needed to fill a third chair. No, I'm kidding. We absolutely appreciate your hosting abilities here on the show. We love you. I'm gonna kiss you right on the mouth. All right, cool. All right. I mean, that's really all that I wanted to talk about as far as like video game stuff. I'm glad that you managed to give that final topic a definitive answer, Jordan. I do appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know. Just a lot of stuff that I was thinking about with our prior discussions with movies and anime, and then we wanted to talk video games, and I was like, yeah, all this kind of, we see this, a lot of this same bullshit throughout other industries also fall within the video game stuff, and then the side quest thing got queued up because of Jordan's complete hatred for filler and standalone movies, and I thought there would be some type of correlation, but to my surprise, that was not the case. So you learn something new every day about your friends. Yeah.
We did get a lot done today. I still don't understand why you don't think like women should be allowed to vote.
Whoa!
Like, I don't understand what the fuck is going on there. But anyway, so yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Patio Podcast.
Just the trying to squeeze in the quick ending of the show, like I don't edit it. Like
exactly. I'm like, he gets to control what happens, but I get to control what you guys hear.
Right. Looks like I'm gonna have to cut all of it. All of it.
That's life. Just edit that out.
Right on cue.
Oh, there it is. I was waiting. That was great. I love it. All right. All right, guys. Well, I think we got a lot done on this episode, surprisingly. As opposed to last week's, where we didn't know what the fuck done. Yeah.
Did we ever make an addendum to that conversation? Real quick, because we found out what had happened.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so in last week's episode, briefly, if you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen to it. If you did listen to it, we found out information. So we were addressing the complete differences between an anime series and a manga, specifically when talking about The Promised Neverland.
Yes.
And we found out, thanks to the good old supercomputers in our hands and the Google machine, we found out that yes, actually, in fact, they took out about 44 chapters worth of content from the series that was in the manga They took that out for the series. They condensed the series and actually rewrote the story from the end of season one on.
That's crazy.
So all of season two has nothing. Now, I don't want to say nothing to do, but like is very mildly influenced by the manga. A lot of core details were left out. A lot of characters were left out. Places and events left out. And yeah. they pretty
why
much
neither
rushed
of us
the
knew
end of
what
it.
We were talking about together.
Yeah. yeah. It was so goddamn confusing. And
yeah, that was weird.
It was at the end of us talking about it off air. I was like, this is fucking nonsense. Like, why do that? Like, what was the end goal of like taking out all this content? And yeah. apparently, I mean, from what we read, apparently they wanted the series to have a different feel to it than the manga, and like almost they wanted to change the genre in which it falls into. Yeah, which is bizarre, to be completely honest. But actually, the positive that actually I'm glad you brought this up, John. I was going to tell you the positive to this is that for once, I'm going to agree with you and say that the book was better. and actually, an additional positive is that now with seeing this type of shenanigans that goes on between anime and the manga and that whole medium, I actually want to order a few mangas from series that I have enjoyed, like Attack on Titan, My Hero Academia, other series that I've been watching, and that I plan on watching, and I want to start building a manga collection and actually reading through them and see what major differences there might be. Yeah, and
that
and
is
kind
a
of
very skin, expensive yeah. habit. So Godspeed.
I mean, I play Magic: The Gathering, so you know, I'm kind of used to spending my money on worthless paper. so what's a few books here or there, you know?
Yeah, true. That's a good point.
But all right, guys. So I think that's going to wrap it for us here at the show this week. We settled a lot of things on this week's edition. Jordan came out of the woodwork with some intelligent points and hit off a lot of boxes, and I'm happy for that. Answered a lot of questions that I had.
Do you want to really quick? Do you want me to ruin it?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, it wouldn't be a show if you didn't.
Fantastic. So there's a police officer, and he's sitting in front of this mother and father, these two parents inside the police station, and the police officer says, "I'm sorry to tell you this, but your son just set the school on fire." And the father goes, "Oh my goodness, was it arson?" And then the police officer goes, "Yes, it was your son."
All
Follow
right,
us
so
on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
So we spoke about side quests this week. So we're going to offer to all the listeners, just going to completely ignore that and have
That's
to
fine.
Edit that in post.
That's how you know you're a comedic genius, when you can ruin it yourself and be perfectly okay with that.
I don't know about comedic and or genius. What say you, comedy czar?
I was just going to say, the crown continues to be mine.
Like I was saying, we spoke about side quests this week. So, John, why don't you offer to all the listeners a few side quests of their own?
Sure. You can head over to Twitter to find us at Party Up Tweets. Search Facebook and YouTube for Party Up Podcast, Instagram, The Party Up Podcast, and of course, twitch.tv/Party Up Podcast, where we do Dungeons and Sandwiches. Episode 3 will be delayed a week. We will be back on the 23rd.
True.
So don't miss out on the very next episode to see what the boys get into.
Yes. Super exciting. Super excited. And I guess a brief announcement, with John creating the show for us, Dungeons and Sandwiches, and the main part of the show being us bringing to each edition of the show a new sandwich to partake in whilst we play.
Whilst we play.
Yeah, fancy word right there. So I've gone ahead and I said to the guys, you know what? Let's get a little more behind the curtain with things. And I think, as long as everybody else is on board, if not, I'm going to do it myself. I think we should let the viewers and the listeners into how we make our sandwiches for Dungeons and Sandwiches. So currently in the works, at least on my end, and if the guys want to join in, by all means, would love to see what you guys bring to the proverbial table and the physical table. I think we're going to start an offshoot mini-series that you will be able to see on YouTube specifically and exclusively. I think we're going to go ahead and put together a new project called Dungeons and Sandwiches Behind the Bread. I think that's going to be
Behind the Bread.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a it's like the VH1, you know, Behind the Music, but it's just going to be you know, behind the sandwich, behind the bread.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I think that'd be an interesting, plus, you know what? It brings a new aspect to what we do, because normally we'll do movies, anime, video games, pop culture, all the nerdy shit, and you don't necessarily need to like any of that stuff to be considered a nerd or a geek. You know, there's plenty of different realms out there that you can geek out on and be a nerd of, or and a super fan of and a lover of. And cooking is one of them, at least for me. So I said, why not? Let's go ahead and expand the horizon for us at the show. So I'm excited to do that. I'm excited for the new edition of Dungeons and Sandwiches. Like you said, John, it's going to be unfortunately delayed for the next edition. So you said we're coming back on the 23rd, correct?
23rd.
Friday the 23rd at 8 p.m.
That's the day before my birthday.
Ooh.
Hey.
We'll do a birthday episode. Yeah. Hell yeah. Absolutely. All right. Cool. So Jordan, I'm going to go ahead and give you a chance of redemption here. Why don't you take us home?
Of course. All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for listening to another rousing episode of the Party Up Podcast. Remember, John may hold the crown as the comedy czar, but I've got something that he doesn't. Audio to-
See, now that's comedic genius. All right, everybody.
From myself, from Derek, and for John, we will see you guys next week. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Later.